Jesus is often referred to in human terms. He's called the bread of life. He's likened to water. He talks about streams of living water. Remember a song we used to sing not so long ago when Jesus was likened to our latest breath? All these worldly words which Jesus condones, he says this is right. See, he came across this problem himself. He was on the world. He was speaking to some Pharisees, and he said to them, I talk to you in worldly terms, and you don't understand it, you don't believe in it. How on earth would you think about things if I started to spiritualize them and put them in spiritual terms? The worldly way of using words is good enough, because that's the way our minds work. So it's not wrong to think of God in these worldly, natural terms, because although one of the greatest things Jesus ever said was, God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Although he said that, yet we have to relate it to the natural world, because that's the way our minds work, that's the way our vocabulary is. So that's what we're going to do. Before we start, I must acknowledge that the PowerPoint we're going to use is really not my own. Dave did it. We were We were sitting together on a sofa about 100 miles away from here, and I said what I'd like on the PowerPoint, and he did it. So that's why it's such a nice PowerPoint. The use of candles is not pure chance, because a bit later on we shall refer to candles. But first of all, I want to use this one single verse, which is a wonderful statement made by John in his letter, and then try to unpack it. And this is the verse. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. No darkness at all. So that is 1 John 1 verse 5. And just read it again, because we're going to concentrate on that one single verse. We're not going any further. All we want to know is in that verse today. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. So I have 3 points. One, to think about how God is light. Two, to have a few thoughts about darkness. And third, I want to talk about candles. You'll see why. So this is, I think, what John was on about when he said God is light. Firstly, we come to God is splendor and glory. Splendor and glory, tremendous. If he's light, then I don't think he's a little dim, little tiny torch. I don't think he's anything like this. Not just one little tiny touch of light, a minute evidence. There it is. It is light, but it's tiny. That's not God. God is magnificent and huge and whole. His splendor and his glory is unfathomable, and you can't put it into words. But God has this huge panoply of light, which speaks of his greatness, of his hugeness, of his otherworldliness. He is enormous in the amount of light that he sheds, and his glory is beyond all glory of anything else. It is absolutely marvelous. And I'm going to liken it to a firework display. It is greater than the greatest show of light you've ever seen. Have you seen some great firework displays? In my time, I've seen some pretty wonderful, marvelous displays of light. All sorts of things we could do with light. God is above all those. He is absolutely marvelous, absolutely glorious. In fact, I'm going to claim that because I'm Christian, I can call him my glorious. How do you feel about that? He is my glorious. Would you like to join me in that? Let's say together, those who'd like to, he is my glorious. He is my glorious. Let's do it again. He is my glorious. What more do we want? What more glorious do we want than God? He is my glorious. He is my wonderful. I just revel in his greatness, his hugeness. And you can add together all the things, all the wonderful things that you know about God into that word. He is my glorious. Now let's move on to a few other things about what I think John may have meant by saying God is light. Okay, I think one of the things he might have meant is God is self-revealing. There's nothing secretive about God. God does not hide away, does not lock himself in a cupboard. He is open. When I was a youngster, there was a song we used to sing, "He is an open secret." You remember that, Rita? An open secret. Yes, he's a secret to many. Many but don't understand him. They don't know what we're talking about. But he's an open secret. He's made himself known. Just like this peacock. You see that peacock? He wants to be noticed. He wants to be seen. He's made himself known. This is me. I'm ready for business. Look, God is like that. He is open. He is willing for people to know him, to see him. He wants to be known. He doesn't want to be locked away somewhere. He is not limited by time or space. He is open, and he is there for people to get to know him. He loves us to get to know him, and he likes us to get to know him better and better. And so, you know, that's what we do. We love to worship him. We love to know more about God. We exchange what God has done for us. We interplay all the various ways in which we know God and which God has come to us. So God is very much self-revealing. And these are all the things that help us to accept the fact that God is light and help us to understand more about God. Next thing, light speaks of God's purity and holiness, which was what was Dave referring to earlier. A pure, white, wonderful light. There's no obscurity in it, no little bits get in the way. It is a pure, totally wonderful light. You can think of it as being a burst of light, a huge, open burst of light which comes upon us and is pure. There's no impurity in that light. That speaks of God's holiness to me. His holiness, his completeness, his perfectness. There is no limit, no doubt about it. It is absolutely clear that God is pure. He is holy. He is not a God with defects. He's not a God with imperfections. You know, we all have imperfections, and often you'll find that somebody's imperfection is somehow it's almost endearing because they can't help it. They've got this little weakness. I'm sorry, we're not very good at that, or not very good at this. And we understand because we've all got imperfections too. But God hasn't. He hasn't got any imperfections. He's totally pure, totally holy, and he's this wonderful example. Everything that he speaks of is just wonderful and marvelous and glorious. Next point. God speaks to me of guidance. It's a lovely verse in the Psalms. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. This is typical of many of the Psalms, where you get two lines. It makes it very easy for the translator, because he knows he's got two things which are very similar, and it helps him translate. And he uses the word path and step. He's a light to my feet. You see, let's take another torch, a little bit stronger, this one. Can't find it. Here we are. Now that's a bit brighter than that other little one. God hasn't only got my future in mind. He knows my path. He knows where I'm going. And he lights it. He's got a strong beam, powerful beam, and he knows exactly the path I should be taking. He's got it all planned out for us. Our future is secure in God. We should have no doubt that where God is taking us is going to be glorious. He's a wonderful path mapped out for all of us. But that would be useless unless he also has a mind to look at our feet, because our future starts with one step. And unless God points out to us the very next step and helps us with now and the very next step, our future is in jeopardy. I mean, for example, if I was thinking of my future, and it's up there and it's all absolutely clear, but unless this first step is clear, I'm going to come a cropper. I remember when I was young, I could jump off quite high things and land and not come to any distance, but I wouldn't jump off there now at my age. I'd go down step by step. And God has got our initial step. It wasn't just by pure chance that you came this morning. This is all part of God's path for you. And he loves to see you here. He loves to see you worshipping. It's just, he wonders at that, and he joins in with worship. But then, that's today. Tomorrow, he has other things for you. And he has a glorious path as well as a future. He has a lovely step. Today is a wonderful step for you and for him. And he's going to enjoy your company today over lunch. He'll be with you. But then tomorrow, in the business of whatever you're doing, he's there with you there as well. So God's guidance is spoken to me anyway by the fact that he's light. He is a tremendous guide. And lastly, on this subject of light, he reveals good and evil. Now, when I was a little boy, there was a great war on. The whole world was involved with war. And at night, I could go out, and the German bombers were coming over. I used to know which make of bomber it was by the sound. I knew that was a Dornier. And I couldn't see them. But then searchlights would go on. And they'd search the sky, and they'd find the bomber. I mean, other searchlights would switch on, and you'd get the bomber locked in beams of light. Those searchlights could find those bombers, and then the guns would go off. They never hit them, but it's another matter. They were pretty awful. Germans hardly ever lost a bomber to the guns. It was the fighters that really got them in the end. But anyway, the searchlights were there. And I liken this to God's light. God can pinpoint evil for us. He can say, if you'll let him, that is wrong. Don't do that. That's not right. He's got this wonderful way of knowing what is evil and what is good. I have a little test in my life. If ever I say, oh, well, why not? Well, it's probably a very good reason why not. Whatever it is, why shouldn't I do this? Why not? Just for once, why not? Use God's searchlight on it. And that'll tell you whether it's okay or whether it's not okay. Because God's light is not only pure, it's not only a wonderful, glorious light, it can show you what is good. And it can pinpoint the evil and say, that's not the one, there's another way. Well, those are my thoughts about light. Let's have a little think now about darkness. I don't want to think about very, very long about darkness. We're going to dispense with PowerPoint because that's all light, isn't it? That's PowerPoint is light. Shouldn't have a PowerPoint about darkness because darkness really is all to do with not having light. I want to rattle through this very quickly because I'm not very keen on the darkness bit. I'm much more interested in the light. But there are some things which the Bible tells us about this. Darkness, I think, for John, was standing for the Christless life. Life without Christ is dark. Peter thought that too. He wrote, God has called Christians out of darkness into his marvelous light. That's in 1 Peter 2. Once you step out of the worldly light, once you become a Christian, you have a light in your life. You are now in light. Before, you were in darkness. And that's what's a lot of things we're doing this year. It's all about trying to get people out of the darkness of non-Christian life, and put them into the light of Christ's brilliance. Darkness, you see, is hostile to light. John, not in his letter, but in his gospel, wrote, light shines in the darkness, but darkness has not overcome it. The light is more powerful than darkness. Darkness is the absence of light. God is the presence of light. If ever we needed that, it is today. The light will not overcome darkness. We live in a world where there's a lot of things wrong, huge things wrong. This last week there's been incredible setback to the progress of this planet. And God will not allow that to make light disappear. Light will prevail, because light is God is light is God, and God will prevail. He is not going to be vanquished by anything that happens. Any evil that we can do, or the devil can do through us, is not going to overcome the light that John describes. Also, darkness stands for the blind lostness of light, which is without Christ. It is lost. It is wayward. It is wandering. It is going nowhere. It is lost. We talk about the lost, and that's what they are. People who are not in Christ are lost, and they are in darkness. To me, darkness talks about people who are lost. They haven't got the light. They haven't got the guidance. They haven't got the inspiration. They haven't got the new life that God gives. Darkness stands to me for disorder, senseless, chaos. Without Christ, the life is going nowhere. It's in disarray. It is disordered. It has no unity, no purpose, no direction. It's not going anywhere. But light shining onto our life, with light, with God, we have a purpose. We have a destiny. We know where we're going. We are going God's way. And God is with us. And God loves us. And God travels along our path in a way that the lost cannot imagine. It's something which is beyond description. But being with God and having God in our lives and directing our every inch of movement, that is a wonderful gift which has no equal anywhere else. It is a gift which is amazing. So, with Christ, our Lord, our life is ordered and orderly and smooth. Oh, there may be bumps coming from the world, but our life with God is smooth. Paul, in Romans, talks about the immorality of a Christless life. Without Christ, we haven't got any moral guidance. We haven't got any way of knowing where we're going. And also, darkness is unfruitful. The fruit of the Spirit needs light to grow. We're not going to be progressing in our lives. We're not going to be improving, not going to be getting anywhere unless we have the light of Christ shining on us, beaming on us, and blessing us. Christ's smile is so precious. The smile of Christ in our life will bring us into a healthful and help-giving situation. Life without Christ, to me, is connected with a lonely life, and also with loveless, the lovelessness. We were talking a little while ago about the way in which you can't really be a Christian and hate. It's not possible. If you're in the light of Christ, you will not go around hating people. You will go around loving people. You will not be loveless. Jeff explained all this to us, didn't you, just a few weeks ago. You will not be loveless. You will not have hate. You will have the love of Christ in your life, that darkness will have disappeared. It doesn't mean that everyone's perfect. It doesn't mean that you don't notice deficiencies in people. You do, but you're able to forgive. You're able to overcome that. You're not bound by the works of Satan. You're freed from that, and you can see, you can love people, even if they're unlovely. Gracious me, Christ first loved us. And for me, I would say I'm the worst person in the world. Nobody should love me, but Christ did. And from that came love for others. So darkness is really the enemy of light. And I'm saying that darkness is where the enemies of Christ live. The enemies of Christ don't live in lightness. They live in dark. And it is, for me, the destination of all those who don't know Christ. If you don't know Christ, you are headed for darkness. That is your destination. If you know God, you are headed for light. The wonderful, enormous light of Christ. The light of heaven starts here. Paul in Ephesians says, we sit together in heavenly places. Present tense, we are sitting in heavenly places. For us, heaven starts here, but goes on seamlessly into heaven, into the light of the eternal Creator. Well, those are my thoughts. John, I hope, John's thoughts about the way in which light and darkness are so important in our life. I want to come to a little bit of thinking about candles. Why candles? Odd thing to say. Why does that remind me of candles? Well, it's just this. Way back in Genesis, the Bible says that we are made in God's likeness. Right? Absolutely crucial statement. Wonderful statement. One of the most wonderful things said in the Old Testament is we are made in Christ, in God's likeness. Now, I don't want to unpack all that and in what ways. It's a lovely thing to study, but one of the things that I would say, if God is light, then we can also be light. We can be a little bit like God, in that although he is this vast, wonderful proclamation of light, in our own way we can have a little bit of light too. And at this point, I need a highly qualified technical assistant. And it's going to be Diana. Diana. If you'd like to come up here and... Okay, sorry. Oh, wonderful. It's for you. Diana is a qualified, highly qualified technician who can work in dangerous ways. Oh dear, which I don't come. Also, I'm going to suggest for us now, she is going to represent the Holy Spirit. You up for that? You see, she has the means here of giving light. Okay? If it works. Yes, she has. And she can light. candles and anything else you want. No, yeah, we've got lots to do. Only the Holy Spirit can put light into people's lives. It is our responsibility to bring Christ to people, but we can't actually save people. We cannot do that. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. And she has the honour of just representing the Holy Spirit for us for a moment. She is going to take on that likeness and just behave as the Holy Spirit does. So the Holy Spirit, for many of us, has already lit our candle. You see, we are a bit like God in that we have this light potential in us. We can give out light. And the first thing I want us to notice is that when you light a candle, that light is very much like any other candle. I'm going to say that all candles are alike. They're so much alike that years and years ago, the candle was the standard amount of light. And light was measured in candles. So that perhaps a lighthouse might be a million candle power. It's not now, it's not measured in candles. It's got a thing called lumens, but candles was the unit of light. Very interesting, because it means that all candles are the same. Well, how can that be? Here's a little one, a little tiny candle. Do you think that's going to have the same amount of light as these? Let's see. I'll keep my hands off it. So. Actually, it's a very new candle, very young candle. But if it was... stir it up a bit. I assure you, it would probably give the same amount of light as these. That's important to me because it means that we all have the same light. We all have the same light in our lives. The light of Christ, it's equal to for all of us in that we all go to heaven. The light is equal. We all have the same salvation power in our lives. We all have the same Spirit, the Spirit of God. It is just exactly the same. One person is not greater than another. If the candles are all the same, we are all the same in God's love. God loves us all equally. He doesn't have favourites. He doesn't say, oh, perhaps he says, okay, you're all my favourites. He says, we're all lovely. We all have this light with us. But one is not greater than another. We've got to recognise that. We've got to recognise in other people the Spirit of Christ and know that whether they are rich or poor, clever or stupid, if they're Christians, they have the light of God in their lives. And they are just as important to Christ as anyone else. Just because somebody has a particular gift, they're not necessarily any better or any worse than anyone else. They all have the same light of Christ in their lives. They all have that same wonderful expectation and certain hope, as Paul calls it, a certain hope that we go to heaven. We're all alike in that. And those who haven't got that light, they're headed for darkness. So let us think about candles and thank God for that light that we have. We have the light which God has given us by the agency of the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that's given us that. Now, got a whole bunch of candles here. We're not, don't worry, we're not going to light them all. But look. Or perhaps we'll light one. Just to give Diana something to do. We are. See if that will go in there. Hope it will. Yeah. There we go. And we can light that. Bit of luck, it'll stay in there. Perhaps you hold it. But there's a difference, a big difference between all these candles and that one. That's got well and truly lit. Well, it doesn't stand up very well. It's a good example, actually. Even though we're lit, we still need support from Christ. We don't stand by ourselves very well. But the difference between all that one and this lot, these are not lit. So they're useless. Yeah? A candle can be ever so nice. I've got a really nice candle here. Look. Isn't that beautiful? What a lovely candle. We're not lighting this one. That's too... But it's an ornament. It's just an ornament. Isn't it? It's lovely. I like it, but... It's useless. It's just an ornament. Now, I don't want any of us to be like that. Our candle should be a light. It should be a glow. It should be obvious to people that we are light. It should be obvious that we are Christians. And we need to let our light shine. Christ was very clear about that. He said, "Let your light shine. Don't put it under a cover. Don't hide it. Just let it be really obvious that we are candles, that we are Christians. Let it be absolutely clear." Now, got another candle here, which has got two wicks in it. But that's not the way we are. We don't have a sort of double wick. We have the one light, the one thing which God has given us, and that is the true light of salvation. That has been given us, that is ours permanently for life, and it is ours to pass on. And a lot of what we've been saying in the announcements and in what we're doing this year is about passing on that light to unbelievers, to people in the darkness. There's a big urgency about that because people in the dark, they're in danger. They are in a terrible danger of not finding a purpose in life. We have a purpose. We know what we're doing. We know where we're going. People without the light haven't got any of that. And it is our job, urgently, to pass on the very best we can, which is the light of Christ. I noticed that there's one thing that Diana can't do. She can't light a whole bunch of candles all at once. Each of those she lit very efficiently, but only one at once. And I want to encourage you to light someone else's candle, just one at a time. As Jeff said, just one, that's enough. You're not a gifted Billy Graham, neither am I. But we all have that gift of being able to light or allow the Holy Spirit through us to light just one candle. Now, will you commit to doing that? Bring light to someone else's life. Just one. By allowing the Holy Spirit to work through you. You see, I didn't say, oh, I'll light all these candles. I asked the Holy Spirit to come and do that. And the Holy Spirit is only too willing to help you. He will tell you what to say. He will tell you how to say it. He will give you the opportunities in which to say it. It is the Holy Spirit that brings Jesus. But we need to be the agent. We need to just be there and let Jesus work through us. Now, will you do that? Will you allow Christ to come into your life in such a way that you are available? Just one. Not a whole crowd. Just one. How many people are you going to influence this year? This year. To become Christian, to come into the light. I would suggest that you should aim for just one immediately, and then just another one, and then just another one. Don't be satisfied with one, but start with one. There's an old story, I'm sure you've heard this before. The boy went down onto a beach and there were a whole lot of sea urchins washed up. They were hopeless. They were out of their depth. They were out of water. They were going to die. And he started picking them up and chucking them back into the sea. And his dad said to him, don't be daft. There's hundreds of those. You can't save them all. Look, there's masses of them. You'll never make it. No, said the little boy. But I can save this one. I can save this one. He can throw it back in the sea. And that's our attitude. Yes, there are loads of people who are not saved. Masses of them. Wherever we go, it's not our problem. Our problem is not a problem. Great opportunity. Great privilege. Wonderful privilege to just to bring one into the light of God. And I'm going to suggest that we should all be doing that. Don't leave it to Mr. Pilavachi or anybody else. They have their role, very important role. But so have you. Your job is just as important as theirs. And certainly for me, I acknowledge that role. I acknowledge that the Holy Spirit can work through me and can actually, through my weak efforts, my weak suggestions, can bring God into the life of other people and can cause salvation, this wonderful translation from death to life, from darkness to light, from hell to heaven. God can proclaim that through even my pathetic works. And I just praise God for the people that I have actually influenced in that way by the light of God. Let us all in our hearts now just decide, yes, I am going to be an agent of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can work through me. I'm going to allow him. And I'm going to put out feelers. I'm going to exert myself to find people to whom I can spread the light of God. I'd like us all, it would be lovely if we could all pray that prayer within the inside of us and say, I'm committed. I want to spread the light of God. Having said which, we're going to put the candles out. And thank you very much, Diana. Thank you. Lovely.